The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father in heaven, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, it's not often that you would hear a Lutheran pastor or theologian talk about glory. The reason is there are people that preach a theology of glory, that whatever you do in some way, shape, or form that is good, that's earning you some kind of bonus and even possibly earning you salvation. And that's not the theology that we practice as Lutheran Christians. We practice a theology of the cross. That it is in the cross. It is in what God did. It is in God giving his only Son up to be sacrificed for us. That makes the difference. And that's the glory. That's what emphasizes my theme for today. To God be the glory. In this reading, gospel reading that you just heard, I'm evidently supposed to talk to you about this glory because it says glory or glorify five times or more in this reading. And I think the reason it's there is for us to understand what true glory is. It doesn't take us long in this reading to understand the glory that Jesus is talking about. He talks about completing the works. Well, what's that all about? The completion of all the works is Jesus going to the cross. Remember Jesus in the garden? Jesus was human. Jesus had to be human in order to die. But in the garden, before he dies, he really shows his humanity. It's something that's astounding to me. Jesus says, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Jesus is saying, I don't want to suffer this death. It's going to hurt, mildly speaking, right? But he finishes his prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. And we know the result of that, right? God's plan for salvation for the world is accomplished through Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection. We and the rest of the world are the benefits of what God has done for us. All that we are, all that we have, are a gift from God. Our society wouldn't necessarily see it that way. You know, I like the old, was it Yul Gibbons? We earned it. Or E.F. Hutton, probably, right? Anyway, that's often the attitude of our society, and it has influence on us. There are times that we think we're all that. And we want people to know it. But that's not the kind of glory that we should be representing. Our glory comes in service, following Jesus' footsteps, doing the things that Jesus did, serving others, sacrificing for others. Jesus gives the disciples a new command in this book of John. Love one another as I have loved you. And we have to know what Jesus' love looked like to really understand that. That it is self-sacrificing. That's about putting others before yourself. That it's all about giving praise to God. Whether you know it or not, that's what we do here when we come to this place on Sunday. We don't come here to glorify the pastor or glorify the organist or glorify praise team or glorify anybody that's leading this worship, because we're in this together. It's called liturgy for a reason. It's the work of the people. Those who lead worship are only being servants. We're not doing it to be glorified by you or respected or applauded or whatever. That's not what worship's all about. We're here to help lead you and encourage you to give all that's within you in praise back to God. That's why we're here, whether you realize it or not. The world does not look the same. The world would tell us that we need to be strong, better than others. But God tells us that our strength comes in our weakness, in our service to putting others before ourselves. It's really easy to love others that love you, right? But God's asking us to love people that we don't even like. It's true, and it's hard for us to do. But that's who we're called to be as the people of God. A couple of things happen to us when we make things all about ourselves. One is that we begin to realize our mortality. If you didn't know it, there are probably going to be a day that you're going to die. Okay? You're only here for a little while. And in that time, your goal is to do one thing. Make disciples of all nations. Share your faith with others. Let them know of God's love for them. There are times that we seem to believe that it's all about us. That it's all about our strength, our abilities, our success. We keep telling ourselves that from time to time. I found this quote from Joseph Goebbels' Law of Propaganda, and it says, "Repeat a lie often enough and it becomes the truth." Denial. Trying to, in essence, create that atmosphere where we do everything we can to stay alive in this world is a type of denial. Denying who we are as humans. And when denial fails, we fall into despair. We start beginning to believe that there's no way forward. We get depressed. I've seen it in folks, especially when they are near death. I've seen people on both sides of this, and I want you to be on the one side. I want you to be rejoicing and praising God. There are so many others out there in our world who don't know Jesus and Jesus' love for them. And when death or injury or illness comes in their life, severe in nature, they don't know how to handle it. Those are the people that we need to reach out to and let them know that everything would be all right. Maybe not the way we'd want it to be, but the way God intended for us. So our Savior Jesus goes to the cross and ultimately defeats death. That's the reason we don't have to worry, right? Because God has done this for us. God's plan for the world is salvation. God wants everyone to be saved. That's the whole purpose of sending Jesus. It's through Jesus' rejection by religious authorities, his suffering on the cross, and his death that provide the proof. The proof of human futility. But we know the story doesn't end with Jesus' death, right? Jesus is resurrected. God raises Jesus from the dead and gives us that promise of forgiveness and life eternal with our God. God's glory comes in suffering and loss and vulnerability. And we are to model that. My prayer for all of us is that we would always remember that Jesus urged us to seek glory through sacrifice. Not by claiming our freedom, but by giving up some of our freedoms for the sake of others. I pray that we would obey Jesus' new commandment, that we would truly love all people the way Jesus has loved us. And that we would always remember that it's all about God, not about us. And at the end of the day, that we would say, to God be the glory.